Oh, good morning, everyone. Oh, you're so fresh and ready to go for the day, right? I know some of the girls at my place, they get a little call that I was awake at 2:47 this morning and had to yell downstairs to say to go to bed, please. So I hope some of you got to sleep before that. But I do know that some got to sleep later than that. So anyways, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you again for this time we can be here. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is so precious a Savior. And we just ask as we open up the Word of God this morning that we can take it seriously, Lord, and that we would realize that you are a real person who came to the earth to give yourself up for those who would want to even crucify you on a cross, and yet you love them. So we thank you for him this morning. We just pray that as the word goes forth that we will all be convicted and want to know more about him. We ask these things in his name. Amen. So, as we walk through the weekend, we're talking about the steps of a believer. And last night, obviously the first step would be is that one has to get or has to accept the invitation that the Lord Jesus gives out. And we talked about that last night, that they first have to get saved. So we move on to the next step. I'm saved, now what happens? These, what we talk about this morning, guys, are going to be basic things that if you guys know the Lord Jesus is your personal Savior, that you should be doing. It doesn't matter if you're 12 or you're 100. These are basic things that one should be doing this morning. One of our verses here, it says, does not he see my ways and number all my steps? Job 31:4. If the Lord knows the numbers of the hair on your head, do you not think he knows every step that you're going to take? Because I truly believe that that verse is literal. The steps that you guys will take today, the Lord knows. And remember, we talked about it last night. Is this weekend going to be pivotal for you in your spiritual walk with the Lord? I have a nice little story here I'd like to read. I came across this. Here's a little story about the importance of prayer. Last week, I took my children to the restaurant. My six-year-old son asked if he could say grace. As we bowed our heads, he said, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food. Now, this is a six-year-old, thank you for the food. And I would even like to thank him more if Mom gets us ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen. Along with the laughter from the other customers nearby, I heard a woman remark, that's what's wrong with kids this day in this country. They don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Why? I never. Hearing this, my son burst into tears and asked me, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? As I held and assured him that he had done a terrific job and God was certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. And he winked at my son and said, I happen to know that God thought that that was a great prayer. Really, my son asked, cross my heart. Then in a theatrical whisper, he added, indicating the woman who'd remarked that had started the whole thing, too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Naturally, I bought my kids ice cream at the end of the meal, and my son stared at this for a moment and then did something I will remember for the rest of my life. He picked up his sundae and walked over without a word to the woman. And in front of the woman, with a big smile, he told her, here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. You want to talk about the importance of prayer? That's something, and I'll tell you a little bit later on. Now, last night, as I mentioned, we talked about how men can come up with excuses about why not to have the Lord as their Savior. But for those of you who are saved now, we want to address a bit about where your spiritual walk is. If I asked you out of 10 p.m., I don't want to raise your hands, but I've asked you tonight out of 10, if 10 was as high as you're going to be, and 1 was as low as you're going to be, where you're at in your spiritual walk with the Lord, if you're saved. And I guarantee you, if I asked for hands and I got you show up a number, there'd be ones here. There'd be 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s. There'd be 10s, but there wouldn't be tremendous amount. Very seldom I would consider myself a 10. I might get up to 8 or 9, but there's always stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't peak at 9 very often, I don't think. But it might happen once in a while. But you know, if you can be consistent in that upper range, it's pretty good. But for you guys who are at 1, it's time to get off the horse or get onto the horse and start going. You know, I don't know where your spiritual life is at. I don't. This is the crew this year, I would say, that I know the least. It's changed over the years, right? You get people come, people go. And we were commenting last night that if we didn't have the crew from Nova Scotia and New Brunswick here, it'd be a pretty thin crew. It would. So we appreciate you guys coming. But where are you at? You know, once you're saved, you're expected to do something. If I was training, let's say I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be a lawyer, I wanted to be aircraft mechanic, I want to be a nurse, I have to go to take the training to do it, right? I have to put the time in. If I was a doctor, I would have to start and do my 4 years at university, and I don't know the whole thing, but anyways, I know through the end of it that it would take a lot of education, and I'm probably looking at 8 or 10 years to do that. And they need help along the way. There's examples where a doctor they do that, and then when it gets to the practical end of it, they do the residency, they're going to classes, they're studying, they're doing practical work, and then they get to go to the OR, and it's just evolving, right? It doesn't happen, poof, you're a doctor right away. But that's how we have to look at our spiritual life. When you guys get saved, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be profound speakers, or you're not going to be a missionary the day you get saved. You have to grow into it. And a lot of you guys are at school right now. And you guys are trying, some of you are there at the point where you're pretty near trying to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your lives, and some of you are just going along. But these things we have to look into, okay? It's going to take time to grow. We have a responsibility to grow in our faith. I remember, I don't think they did it when, they might have did it when Beth, my wife is a nurse, but I know they do it now, where they call it shadowing. And a nurse that's in her fourth year of training, or he, they have to follow another nurse around that has lots of training, and they shadow them. They don't do anything except walk along. If she gives a needle, they're watching her give a needle. If she gives meds, they're watching her give meds. That's part of the training. And that's what you guys need to be doing. I don't care if you're 12 here or you're 30. Whatever age you're at, you guys have got to find somebody older that is interested in your spiritual life and shadow them. And for you guys that are older, it doesn't matter what age. If you guys are old enough to be responsible, you young men, you young women, you should be taking a younger one and helping them along their way in their spiritual walk. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sit down and have a Bible study with them every week, you know. But you should be finding a way to minister. That's a great way to minister to the Lord. You look at all your youth leaders out here. They're ministering to you by showing up every Friday night or Saturday or whatever night that you get together. Make sure you thank your youth leaders. It's a commitment. You guys show up and have fun, but they do all the work, right? They organize it. You know, you guys that came from away, somebody had to get the cars lined up. Somebody had to find out who was coming. They had to figure out what time we were meeting. It just takes work. It does. So make sure you thank them for it. I had a fella who was a mentor of mine when I was 13 years old. Noel Molly used to come to this assembly. And I tell you, my dad, as I talked about last night, he wasn't a saved man. But you know what Noel did? He was only about 3 or 4 years older than me. He seen a boy that needed help. And we spent some time reading the Bible and stuff. But it was more to me of an encouragement at 13. But we went fishing, and we went watching ball games. We went watching hockey games, and he took me under his wing. And I'll tell you, to this day, Noel and Sven Christen were the only two men that my dad didn't mind coming out praying with him, because my dad seen that Noel showed interest in my life. And never forget it. Your friends will carry you a long way. Now, want to look at some scripture this morning? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. We want to open up the Word of God and see what it says. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. Okay. We're going to read this up in the screen if you want to watch or read along, or read along in your Bible. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and has given him every name which is above, has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, that is what I want you to look at, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, Paul had left these people already, and he had left them at the church of Philippi, and he had given them example of what to do. And I really encourage that this verse, when it says, you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. These guys were going on for the Lord. Okay? They had figured it out in some way to do it themselves. Paul was the example that he said. Now, these people somewhere along the line must have known that their spiritual walk had to come from an individual basis. You know, if I was to ask this morning, you know, I look over the crowd, I'm seeing, you know, see Jesse down there. And I say, Jesse, well, this morning, you know, could you pray for me, Jesse? Take my spot praying for me. I don't feel like praying this morning. I got lots in the burner. You know, just pray for me. Pray, do all my prayer lists for me and let me know how it goes. And just keep me informed on what happened. And then I look down the line a little bit in the work that I have to do. Camp's coming up. The season's around the corner. There's lots of work to do down there. And, you know, going to senior teens. And all of a sudden I say to Tristan, well, Tristan, I'm not going to camp this year. Need you to go down direct for me. But I want to know what's going on. And I want to know how you get along. And then keep me informed of what's happening. How silly would that sound? You know, that would not make any sense at all as far as my walk with the Lord goes. And then I say to them, well, I'll take whatever credit you get for that, then I'll take it. Just sounds very nonchalant. Your mom and dad, your best friend, wife or husband in here, cannot pray for you. Well, they can pray for you. Sorry, let me reword that. Cannot work in your prayer life. It's got to be personal. It does. I can't have anybody read the Bible for me. The Word of God, in Psalms, it says that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I'm not reading the Word of God, then there's no way I can grow. And there's no way you can get somebody else to do it for me. The Christian walk becomes very personal. If you've got a good prayer life going on, then good for you. If you've got a good reading schedule going on, that's good for you. It's the only way that you're going to get to grow in your relationship with the Lord intimately. And I'll ask you tonight, or this morning, another raise of hands, and I don't want you to do it, but if it did, how serious do you take with your little walk with the Lord? And I'm serious here. Are you guys just, well, I'm just going along and I'm happy to be here? Or are you praying? And it's hard. Man, you guys are young. It's hard for me, and I'm older. And yet I'm more mature, or supposed to be. And yet I still find it hard. And you guys got so much pressure on you now at this age, it isn't funny. But do you take your walk with the Lord seriously? Are you praying? Are you reading? Reading's important, guys. Reading's important. Very important. You know, Fanny Crosby, I know you guys sing lots of her songs. I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. She was blind at a young age. She was only 6 months old when the doctor treated her for an eye infection. And she was blind because of the treatment that he gave her. You know, they said the doctor never recovered. He moved away from the community where she was. And he was never the same because he made her blind. Here's Fanny Crosby's legacy behind. She wrote 8,000 songs and poems. Here's some of the songs she wrote. To God be the glory, blessed assurance, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, keep me near the cross, all the way my Savior leads me. Them are some of them. You know the thing I like about Fanny Crosby the most? Is that she was blind at 6 months old. She came to know the Savior, and guess what? By the time she was 30 years old, she had memorized the first four books of the Old Testament and all the Gospels. There's somebody who was committed to knowing God's Word. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I memorized a verse. It's been a long time. But that doesn't mean that you guys can't. And my prayer life is good, and my reading's good. But you got to combine them all together, right? Nice to hide that stuff in your heart. Life gets busy. I was thinking with all the things that go on today, the way my generation is not growing up with cell phones. I can remember Trent, Ty, and Tristan, and Kinley's dad at Good Electric many years ago. He had a cell phone. It was the latest and greatest thing. It just looked like a home phone. Big bass on it, big cord come up, and you said hello. It was no different. I can remember when they first came out, but now you guys got communications that are going on like crazy. What do you got? You got emails. You got Twitter. You got Facebook. What else is out there for? Give me something else. Instagram. Snapchat. Skype. Lots of stuff going on for communications. There is. And what would you guys feel like? And this is going to be the truth. Some of you guys talk to God like it was only one text a day. Might pray for your food. And that's important. You know what praying for your food does? It shows me and myself that I'm thankful for what the Lord has. And here's another little thing to go along praying for your food. When you guys are out in public, bow your head and pray for your food. If you're eating at Wendy's, you're eating at a restaurant or whatever, because you'll be a testimony for somebody. A little boy prayed his prayer, and who knows how it spoke to the woman. I just can't imagine sending God a text and saying, you know, I'd like your help today, God, and I got this test I'm having, and that's it. Or send a prayer up. That's all you talk to Him for the rest of the day. He's supposed to be your best friend, your intimate friend. Here's a scary stat. Texas, the amount of texts sent every month for teenagers between 13 and 17. It's a little different between the guys and the girls. The girls, on the average of a month between that age, is 4,050. The average for the males is 2,040. That's 135 texts a day for the girls, 84 texts a day for the men. Thinking, this may sound stupid, because I was thinking about this as I was reading this morning. I want to challenge you guys to something. I would think very little. I don't got my cell phone on me. It's back there. But I've got contacts on my list. I'm sure you guys all do. I'm just guessing I might have, I don't know, 40. I don't know how many I got. Doesn't matter. Think about this morning. If I challenged you guys to put God in there, put God as one of your contacts, and you start texting them, and you start talking to him like you might your best friend. If I was asked how many texts did you send your best friend the run of a day, might be 20 or 30. I don't know. I'd say in the run of my day, and texts I would send might be 10, maybe, to whomever. But what happens if you put God in there? He's one of your contacts, and you start a text and say, God, this morning, I'd just like to thank you for who you are, and I'd like to thank you I'm saved. And then you're done. And then a little later on, God, I need help with this test. I just wonder if you could help me. I wonder what that text would be like in a year's time. Or your contacts, if you look back, them, what it'd be like. You know, I've always said, in the midst of your Christian walk, when you don't have time to sit down and pray for hours, I always call it sending up shooters. Don't be scared to send God a little prayer. I do it all the time. Lord, I just know I have this doctor's appointment today and I'd like an answer. And that's it. I'm done. I move on. I'm doing something. I'm busy. But don't be scared to send up shooters. They'll keep you close to the Lord. Okay? Here's a story of somebody who believed in prayer. Okay? Another story I'm going to read you. As you can tell, I'm sticking on prayer pretty good. Because that's how we talk to each other here, and that's how we should be talking to the Lord. A story is told of Clarence Jones, who wanted to start a pioneering mission radio station so people could hear the gospel, but the question was where? He prayed with his colleagues to lead them to the right place. As time went by, the Lord had laid it on his heart to go to Ecuador. But other voices disagreed, and even the U.S. State Department, who was doing research there, said that the information had showed that the equator was a poor place to broadcast from. The further you got away from the equator, the better the signal would be. Trying another country would be better, they were told, even by the country of Ecuador. The statistics they'd looked into showed that it would not be good. Another manufacturing company that was investing radio possibilities in Ecuador reported, because of the large amount of mineral ore deposits in the mountains, it could be expected that any radio station signal from that point should be lost or seriously weakened by ground absorption. Even with all this information, Clarence and his group were still led by the Lord to go against poor technical hope and solid human advice. They started their little radio station called HCJB to present the Gospels to their listeners. As the station grew, man's choice were proven wrong as far as they found out that man was wrong and God was right. It turned out that the higher you go and the closer you get to the equator, the better the signal is because of the mineral ore in the ground. The place where the radio station was placed in Quito, Ecuador, 10,000 feet in the Sierra and only 10 miles south of the equator. Their first broadcast was on Christmas Day, 1931. And that little radio station, I looked it up after I read the story. Christmas, 1931. And they were led by the Lord to go there. You know what? That radio station's still going today. Man, tough to believe that later. But see, they prayed about it. They wanted the Lord's will, and He gave it to them. I love them stories, I really do. Now, here's these verses again. This is where men and women, boys and girls, probably struggle the most. As we talked about last night, we can come up with excuses as why not to read and why not to walk in our spiritual walk. This is what the scriptures talk about when it says, work out your own salvation. As we read in the verses behind us, it does not say, does not say, work for your salvation. Okay? Very important. Many people, and we talked about it a little bit last night, they think they can work for their salvation. It says, work out your salvation. Now, what do you think that means by working out your salvation? Do you mean that when you're saved, I've got it made, there's no need of doing anything else? It's going to be cruising from here on in, and I'm not going to have any problems. Doesn't work that way, and we all know it doesn't work that way. Life is life. It's going to come upon you. It's going to be good. It's going to be different. It's going to be hard. It's going to be some bad times, okay? That's life. But when we talk about working out our salvation, some examples, I think that when we talk about working out our salvation, it means to serve Him. It means to honor Him. What can you guys do to work out your salvation? Well, working out your salvation just means to do things for Him. You're saved. Now let's work on what we can do to be better. What can we do to get closer to Him? You know, you guys are old enough. Some of you are in Awana. You're helping out. Some of you still go to Awana. It's probably your last year. But some of you are helping out. Some of you help out at camp. Some of you help out around your church. If you go down and sweep the floor at your church, wherever you are, and you do it with a willing heart, then you're doing something for the Lord. You're working it out. You're showing the practicalness of your Christian walk. And I really want to emphasize, it doesn't say work for your salvation. It says work it out. It means that you can do anything for God if you want, okay? You just got to put it out there. Some of you guys will wonder what you're going to do for the rest of your lives. Start doing it now. Start doing the little things, and the Lord will reward you with the big things, okay? This last part of the verse, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I looked a little bit into this fear and trembling. Are we supposed to be scared on the things that we do for the Lord and petrified that we're so scared that we don't do anything? No. You know what that fear and trembling means? To take it seriously. You guys at a young age, if you don't think that the Lord can use you at your young age, He can. He's used lots of people that are young. You don't have to be old like me for the Lord to use you. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you guys are at school and you're being an example for Him, then that's great. But one thing I'd like to talk about here for a minute too is that you guys that are saved, now listen to me. If you're sleeping, listen up to this one. If you guys are saved and you're living a little different life than you show up here on a Sunday, than you are for the rest of the week, then you better shake your head quick and get your act together. Because I really feel that the Lord, that's one of the things that He dislikes the most, is that somebody's talking this way and yet they're living this way. And there's a big facade on. Sunday morning Christians only. Okay? I don't know if there's anybody here like that this morning, but if there is, you better wake yourself up. Because it's sad, you're doing the Lord such a dishonor by saying that you walk with Him and He's your Savior. And I know this is right and wrong, but the rest of the week I'm doing something different. Are you guys, you know, are you at parties where you shouldn't be at, where there might be some drinking and some drugs going on? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just here as a friend. Hogwash. You guys know deep down that you shouldn't be there. And I don't know if any of you guys are tinkering that stuff at all. But it's like we talked about last night. That stuff is empty. It's not going to reward you. It might make you feel good for a few moments. But the emptiness you feel afterwards is not going to even be close. Okay? We got to take our walk with the Lord seriously. Here's some verses that say, for the Lord is for that those who know Him. Psalm 4:3 says, but that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself, and the Lord hears when I call Him. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore go out from the midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and then I will come unto you, and I will be your Father to you, and you shall be my sons. Here's one, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son, who loved Himself and gave Himself for me. You know, the two no longer mix. They don't. You can't. You guys are not going to grow spiritually if you want to have a foot in the world and a foot with the Bible and with God. It just doesn't work. Verse 13, it says that God wants to do His good pleasure in our life. In the process, we can bring the Father great pleasure if we do. You know, men will know us by our conversations that we keep. They will. And it's quite a thing to say that God wants to do His good pleasure in our life. You guys think about that. God wants the very, very best for you, the very, very best. And how do you think you're going to give Him the very, very best? By not reading your Bible every day, by not praying, by not doing anything for Him? That's not the best, right? your personal walk has got to be taken seriously. I'm going to wrap things up here. As you guys try to grow spiritually along in your walk, it's going to take some learning, okay? It is. If you guys came to work with me and just say I had somebody brand new in the job, and I'd say, well, you're going to come to work on Monday morning, you get there and you say, well, here we go. I said, there's a 13-speed truck you have to drive with air brakes, and oh yeah, you got to learn how to weld, because that's part of my work. And then when you get there, well, this is how you fire up the truck. There's about 30 levers and buttons on it, and you'll figure it out as you go, right? I couldn't expect you guys to do that. I couldn't. I couldn't do it the first time I went. I couldn't do it till about 2 years later. It took me that long to work. But it's a process. It's a growing. I had to grow into my job. I had to figure out how to do it. People taught me. And that's the spiritual walk. And we're going to talk about that a bit tonight, okay? About the importance of just keep moving ahead and keep going. I read this quote, what you become is more important than what we do. Isn't that the truth? If I am here for X amount of time and I drill wells, that's important because I need to make a living. But it's not going to be near as important for the things I do for the Lord. You know, when I was your guys' age, some of you are 15, I never dreamt and never even came across my mind that I would be a youth leader. Never came across my mind that I'd be helping a camp direct, and never came across my mind that I would be in the oversight at the Charlottetown Bible Chapel. And it certainly never came across my mind that I'd be up here speaking at a Focus Weekend. It's weird for me, I'll tell you. It's just gone full circle. It seems strange to be up here. But the Lord gave me opportunity, and I took advantage of it. Did I fall along the way and make some stumbles? There's guys here that'll say I sure did. And I'm not saying that I didn't. But just as a wrap up, you guys, we need to be thinking that. I got to be doing things daily for the Lord. And this afternoon in the message, I didn't want to go an overload for me because this is a big undertaking. But this afternoon message, I asked Glenn if he'd take one, Avril. And Glenn's going to speak on a quiet time. He's going to speak about having a quiet time with the Lord, and that's why I didn't touch it too much this morning. We need to have that time alone for the Lord every day, okay? It's important. I wrote these three things down. What we need to do in order once we are saved. Romans 8:29 says we are to be conformed to His image of His Son. This is the next step that we need to take. Here's some things that we need to do. We need to realize that Jesus is the Son of God and we must let Him reign in our lives. Number two, we have a personal responsibility to live it out in what He has placed within us, which is to have a righteous life. Number three, not only is His will to do so, but to make it so. And the ultimate goal is to make us more Christ-like. Here's another quote. I love quotes. You'll figure out that weekend. We ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. We ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. And that's our quiet time, which Glenn will talk about this afternoon. So, another song to try to wrap up what I was attempting to say. This one is by Brian Free and Insurance, and it talks about, this whole song will talk about, I want to be that man. I'm sorry, ladies, I couldn't find a song that says, I want to be that woman, but anyways, but you can take to the same effect. This song is talking about, I want to be the example, okay? Kyle? And then I'll close in prayer.
Was awake before the sun with his Bible opened up, seeking truth with every single page he turned. Anyone could see my daddy lived what he believed, with a gentle heart where passion for Jesus burned. I know we had our times, we disagreed, but the longer I live, it's clear to me. I wanna be
in a word of prayer. Father, we just pray that we can be that man here tonight, and we can be, or this morning, we can be that woman that would want to serve you and would want to go on for you. We just pray that you would encourage these young people as they have lots of pressures on them, from peer pressure to the things that are going on at the school, to the things that they need to look for in the future. And just pray that you would be each one, care over them, Lord, and we just pray that there would be spiritual growth here this weekend, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. We thank you for the rest of the day that's going to take place. We ask for safety, and just thank you that we can all be together in this way. We ask these things in his name. Amen.